Radio.
Art Transforming Culture. A talk by Jeremy Ambrose for Artes Christi.
Hello everyone. How are you feeling? Good? All right. An Englishman, an Irishman, a physician, and a poet walk into a pub. They order some beers, and the Irishman starts to read out some of his writings. Now, if you're waiting for a punchline, I should warn you, this isn't that type of story. This is no stereotype-based joke that makes fun of the Irish. We have the McCanns here for that. This is no imaginary tale, no hypothetical. This is a true-to-life gathering that occurred frequently throughout the 1930s and 1940s, where a group of thinkers and lovers of literature came together to discuss and share their writing, their culture, and their faith. If you're still waiting for some sort of punchline, then I suppose I should add that from these meetings arose some of the best-loved literary works of all time, including The Lord of the Rings and the Narnia books. Yes, I'm speaking of that famous group who came to be known as the Inklings, consisting of no less than J.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, as well as Charles Williams, Owen Barfield, and a vast array of others who made up this community of friends and custodians of culture. Now, these meetings famously took place in the local pub, the Eagle and the Child, as well as the rooms of C.S. Lewis in Magdalen College. And in the midst of these minds erupted a formation in philosophical thinking, a development in the art of storytelling, a deepening of friendship, and a return to the core of what it means to be a human person. They discussed language and used language to uncover the divine, and through their written work, their conversation, and their example, to create a culture of life. Now, these gatherings took place over 70 years ago, yet the fruits are still being unpacked today and will be for a long time to come. My friends, here we are at the Travada restaurant, surrounded by good people, eating good food, drinking good wine, and yet we're all individuals. However, we're here, gathered together, becoming a single unity of people, at least for tonight. A single unity of people sharing a common vision and sharing a passion for the arts and an outlook on society. Here we sit, bound by the words we are listening to and the space we are sharing and the music that's just come on. I can do that. Yet against us is the background of a world, a grand and beautiful city, with a capacity for so much good, yet also a reality for so much darkness and confusion. Now, do we look back at the days of the Inklings, the world they inhabited, and do we see them as the golden days, the glory days of a better world and a greater culture? Do we resign ourselves to the days of today, the world we live in, and do we think of Lewis, Tolkien, and the others with admiration as inhabitants of a distant memory from the past, when the culture was more Christian and opposition to the faith was not as intense? Do I look in the mirror and think back to those days when I had a full head of hair? Because it's on its way out. Were they the glory days? Unfortunately, I think the answer too often is yes. We see those times as a golden age, as a world that has passed, failing to see that all of the past is a living reality that is contained in the present and that leads us to the future. I think we forget that we are not mere spectators, but we are actors on this worldly stage. Sometimes we forget that we are not alone, that we are surrounded by others who care about what we care about, who also engage with what we engage with, and who love what we love. We forget that we are connected through inheritance with those who have gone before us, with those who wrote a book, who sang a song, who sketched a sketch, as well as those who read, listened, viewed, and who were moved by what they saw. We are not the first ones to have ever been touched by truth, beauty, and goodness. Yet we must acknowledge that, yes, we do live in different times. There's no doubt about that. Yet our response to this world, that is what we must reflect on. Because for Lewis Tolkien and fellow Inklings, their world was a vastly different world from the world that existed before them too. Their culture was a vastly different culture to the culture that preceded them. Atheism was on the rise, as well as a new type of modern thinking, which worshipped reason above all else, its seeds planted by the French Revolution. These Inklings, did they ever imagine we would look at their day as some sort of golden age? Well, whether they did or not, it's beside the point. Because what matters is that they did not sit idly in the wings as the world went on in a new direction. But they cared enough about culture, about the world, about the arts, and about life to do something. Something seemingly very small, meeting in a pub. But look at what we've inherited from these meetings. Now, a 13-year-old girl who has a poster of Viggo Mortensen as Aragorn on her wall alongside Justin Bieber may not be aware of the depth of cultural history that is present. But this is what she has inherited from these meetings, from the imagination and appreciation of those minds that shared their interests with each other. And by the way, I'm not referring to Justin Bieber. Lewis, Tolkien, Williams, Barfield, these individuals gathered together in an Oxford pub, but their voices have resounded not only across the whole world, but across time. What a foreign concept for us, to have our words echoed throughout culture. I mean, look at us. Why is it that we jump with surprise when we read that Mark Wahlberg goes to daily mass? Perhaps if you've seen the film Ted, you would be surprised too. Why do our hearts beat with excitement when we hear of Harry Connick Jr. or Susan Boyle explicitly referencing their Catholic faith in their music? Why is it so inspirational to see a story like Les Miserables up on the big screen? A story that seems so imbued with Catholicism that we need to gasp in order to regain our balance. Why is this such a foreign experience to see faith reflected in our culture? Have things swung so far that we must look at the past with envy when these things were taken for granted? I too must admit, having this image of the golden days, I'm not just talking about my hair, as well as the Inklings, would you believe that 60 years ago, Catholic artists were amongst the greatest in the popular culture of their day? Their faith informed their works, and their works were so hugely popular that the culture was shaped by its exposure to these writers, these filmmakers, these artists. Graham Greene, Flannery O'Connor, Evelyn Waugh, Alfred Hitchcock, Leo McCarey, Frank Capra, just to name a few. These artists created artworks. They told stories. They used their talents. And by doing this, they shaped the culture of their time. Amazingly, their works became a core part of the culture. But today, what is the result? Today, it seems like things are working backwards, that the culture is trying to erase itself of its Christian heritage and the influences of faith. How painful it is to watch the latest screen portrayal of that beautiful work, A Brideshead Revisited, be neutered as much as possible of its Catholicism, when it's undoubtedly Catholicism that lies at the heart of the novel. Because when we walk away from our call to transform the culture, then we allow the culture to transform us. There is no other way to put it. It's like, you know, when you go to the airport and you're one of those travelators, and you walk along on it and you can overtake people at a normal speed. Now, imagine walking backwards against the flow of that travelator. To get ahead, you've got to keep walking. You've got to walk fast. If you stand still, you're moving backwards. And this is the same thing that's happening in this culture. We are either moving in one direction or the other. If you're standing still, then you're moving backwards. Motion is unavoidable. Dear friends, each one of you here have been specially invited to the first of what we would like to call the Artes Christi dinners. Most of you will be familiar with the Artes Christi community, made up of those who are lovers of the arts, who are artists in various forms, and who are in a position to some way affect and transform the culture. Some of you may be sinking in your seats thinking, I'm not an artist, what am I doing here? But in a very, very real sense, we are all artists. As JP2 says in his letter to artists, we are all entrusted with the task of crafting our own life and making of it a work of art, a masterpiece. Moreover, every Christian is an artist by the fact that we follow the original artist himself and we share in his work. Because what is the incarnation if it is not the epitome of what art should be? That is, the mystery of the divine being revealed in human flesh. In the same way, all authentic art seeks to reveal the mystery of the divine in human terms, through human expression, seeks to reveal the transcendentals of truth, beauty, and goodness. It's a sacramental language of the visible revealing the invisible. As human persons, we have been created to speak with this sacramental language. Our visible body expresses the invisible realities of friendship and of love, etc. So we've been given this sacramental language to express ourselves and express the realities of the human condition, of the divine, of redemption, of salvation, and of love through this very language. And this is why we create, we express. Because when this is authentically happening, then do we form the world around us through the culture. Then do we achieve creating an authentic space for leisure as well as work, culture as well as climate, to see this and recognize this, to realize the integral mission of the artist is to realize one's own role in the arts, whether it is to create or to critique, whether it is to give or to receive, whether it is to work with the divine in expression or to recognize the divine being expressed and draw others to it. That is why every single one of us here, even Father Bill, has a role to play in a community of artists. Whether it be creating or admiring the creation, it is an active engagement. Whether one is an actor, writer, journalist, architect, painter, singer, dancer, sculptor, or a lover of the arts, a human person dedicated to the pursuit of a beautiful and fruitful culture. You are all invited into this new Artes Christi network. And in accepting such an invitation, we all have a part to play. You see, over the last 10 years and more, Artes Christi has worked towards building a community of artists. And thus today, we invite all those who love the arts, all of us here, to look beyond ourselves, to be people who are called to transform the culture. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to go out there and bombard the world with ourselves or our work, but rather, it can be as simple as what we're doing here tonight, meeting over dinner, a community where people are brought together, where people share in a formation that fosters our cultural and artistic expression. And in doing so, be planting the seeds to transform the culture. The Inklings likewise met together and did a similar thing. Amongst them were doctors and lawyers and others who may never have called themselves artists, but who were rightfully a part of the community by what they had to offer in sharing their ideas, critiquing and listening. They were all lovers of art, promoters of an enriched culture. So we too are invited to be lovers of art, people of truth, beauty, and goodness, promoters of an enriched culture, and ultimately transformers of culture. To transform the culture, we must try to recognize and see what exactly is our culture. We must remember that culture is not just a certain activity or event, but it is everything that surrounds us. We breathe in the culture. It exudes from our pores, like garlic. JP2 wrote that the split between the gospel and culture is without a doubt the drama of our time. We underestimate how integral culture is to man and how crucial it is to reflecting what is happening within the human person, what is happening to shape our environment and thus influences those who reside in the midst of our culture. Joseph Piper highlights Aristotle's reflection that we work in order to be at leisure. It's a new idea, isn't it? We work in order to be at leisure. And in a society that tends to reduce all human affairs to work, we can often fail to recognize the importance of culture and thus the importance of leisure. Entertainment, therefore, has a value of its own. But we must recognize not only the value, but also the grand responsibility of art and culture. We have seen throughout history how it can be raised to great heights in enriching society, in providing authentic entertainment, and leading one to contemplation and joy through leisure, reflecting the human experience and inviting us even deeper into discovering what it means to be human. All of this can be summed into what I've mentioned before, truth, beauty, and goodness. However, like all things, these great goods of art and culture can also be taken and used to damage and degrade society. Art can be used to radically mutate the culture, eventually mutating society too, and thus making a degenerate culture the norm. We can look all around us and see how the culture, led by art and entertainment, has the capacity to plunge society into an environment in which the gospel is denied and an alternate lifestyle, often very much at odds with the human person, is presented as the norm. Now, as an example, Miley Cyrus recently tweeted her support for a decision by the Disney Channel to introduce a same-sex couple into one of its family TV shows. Miley tweets, "I commend Disney for making this step into the light of this generation. They control so much of what kids think. This is inspiring." Tweet, untweet. Now, whatever one may think about the issue of marriage equality as it has come to be known, what is undeniable is that the culture, especially via Hollywood, has had a big impact in this area by a careful and positive depiction of same-sex relationships. The result is that audiences and society in general begin to mirror the values of what they are seeing, being formed into thinking a certain way, and become more open to accepting it, even if it is contrary to the law of faith that one follows. This is the power of Hollywood, of entertainment and culture. Now, obviously, there are people passionate about this issue on both sides, but I would suggest that on this question, the real battle is being won and lost, ultimately not through politics, but through the culture. And this is my point. More often, it is often through gradual shifts in culture and entertainment that one view of an issue can become to be seen as bigoted and even unmentionable. Marriage equality is only one issue, but I offer this as an example so that we can see the bigger picture, so that we can see how crucial the culture is and how we should strive to do our part in transforming the culture before it transforms us. And as a community of artists, we can achieve this. We can step forward to be promoters of beauty, to be storytellers of truth and hope, to use our talents for good, to provide an entertainment that will build a culture of life, a culture of authentic love. We want to, like the Inklings, enrich the culture, inspire artists in their pursuit of the good, and develop our gifts such that they can blossom into a force of expression, one that bears light to the darkness, that brings hope to sorrow. And this is precisely why we have gathered here for the first time tonight as a community of artists, which will make up our newly formed Artes Christi network. And like all communities, there is a commitment required. Yet, thankfully, here the commitment is far from burdensome. All that we ask is that you try to attend these dinners the 3 or 4 times a year when we have them. And in this small way, working together and encouraging each other the way we can. And most importantly, we can persevere in our small part in transforming the culture. Now, this is not a huge gathering. You know, lucky I was skinny going through all those people back there. But with large numbers, this doesn't have large numbers, but it's not meant to be. It's not meant to be a huge gathering. Rather, it is consistency and faithfulness that we seek. It is a group of people who are dedicated in supporting the network through coming to these dinners and through your prayers. That is how we can all find the support and strength to step forward in this mission. Another way in which we can all be supported and active in this community is through the Artist Reflect email group, which we have heard something about a bit previously, and you know, which we'll have the opportunity to share with others and receive a reflection, one every day, to assist us in praying and contemplating what it is to be a person of faith and an artist in the world. This involvement is so that we can be an active community of artists in the spirit of the Inklings. I particularly commend this initiative to your attention as a powerful additional means of staying in contact with the Artes Christi networks in the months between the dinners. So for all of our overseas visitors here, Elise, that's you, you can still be a part of this network through the email network. So dear friends, we are united here tonight. But being united doesn't mean we don't have any differences of opinion. Within the Inklings themselves was a vast array of different beliefs, a mixture of Christian denominations in a time of great sectarianism. The group even included non-Christians, and Lewis himself was originally an atheist. These men disagreed and challenged each other on certain points. But it was through this authentic dialogue, mutual respect, and common love for the arts that truth, beauty, and goodness transcended these differences to shape and transform the culture. And may it be so with us. May we make the golden days a reality of today, leaving fruits that will still be blossoming not only 70 years from now, but throughout eternity. Thank you.
That was Jeremy Ambrose with Art Transforming Culture. For more information on Artes Christi, visit arteschristi.org.au. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.